Good evening, everybody. Welcome once again. Thank you for joining us. Whether you're live or watching catch up, you're very welcome. We enjoy your company these Wednesday evenings. And we're heading towards the end of our 14th year, a few weeks, and we're still amazed that we have plenty to talk about and plenty to discover. Wow. And see people's lives amazingly changed.
Yeah, it's been amazing that every time Mark and I do this, it's just like, will anybody actually turn up? So thank you. Thank you for coming. We really appreciate it. And it's been a joy. And of course, we'll, you know, Lord willing, technology willing, all of those things, you know, we'll continue to do it as long as, you know, there's a people want actually for us to do it. I mean, I can't believe it's been 14 years. It's just mind-boggling.
There's, yeah, but here we are. I think I saw a video a few weeks ago, Barry, one of our early ones. I thought, yeah, things have definitely got better since those days.
Well, but, you know, and it's funny because, you know, even back then, you know, I think we started, what, 2010, wasn't it?
We, yeah, 2010. We started July 2010,
And I mean, it was, you know, as cutting edge can be at that time, right?
Yeah,
it was.
Yes, yeah.
So things have changed a lot. And of course, you know, I still have fond memories of 1999, uploading the Father's Love Letter stuff to, you know, all that crazy 28K modem stuff, you know. And so it's, We've been along for the ride for a long time.
We have. And those were literally the days you'd start uploading a file and you go away and have a cup of coffee, a meal, do the housework and come back later. And it still was chugging along.
Now people can download a movie in like 10 seconds or something, right? It's crazy, less than that. So that's crazy. But now, Mark, I'm just commenting on your lovely picture, your image.
Yes.
Something's new. What's
it
new?
It is. It's all new. I have a new camera. I got a new webcam the other day, which I've been playing with. This is the first time live with it, but it's pretty good. I won't show you the effects. It's got the same effects as, you know, Barry's. It will follow you around the room. But I'm very gracious to him. I turn it off so I don't give him motion sickness.
Now it's not doing it.
there you go. So, yes, new webcam. Had to change the lighting a little bit, but so far seems good. There we go. Yeah. And you had a good time last week while I was in Poland.
Yes, and well, tell us about Poland. How did it go?
You tell us about you had a good time with Larry.
We had a great time. And of course, you know, I had no idea that Larry had been to Poland years ago. And of course, you know, when he was there, he had a really seemingly like a connection to Poland. And he was praying for you on the live stream. And so that was pretty cool. But so it went well. So tell us about Poland.
So I was there. I had a weekend conference in a church in Wrocław, Friday night, Saturday and Sunday morning. Went really well. I mean, lovely people, lovely openness, real kind of, just felt like a lot of stuff was going quite deep. I was supposed to be doing something else in another church on Thursday, but that was cancelled. So I had a day off on last Thursday. I went around Warsaw, took a boat trip on the river Vistula. So that was nice to sort of see a bit more of the city. And then got the train from Warsaw to Wrocław. And it was just very good. I just felt I've been there before. I know the people, the pastor and his wife, very, very hospitable, lovely, generous spirit. It went really well. Just looking around the room and seeing people, you know, having an encounter with the love of the Father. It's what it's all about, isn't it, Barry?
Yeah, as we've talked about before, for me, it's just when the lights come on, like you see in their eyes
that
they know they're loved. It's like, it's worth it for that.
It was. And, you know, there were lots of those moments over the weekend where you just look around and think, that person's getting something. That person's getting something. Yeah. And and just lovely openness, really good. I'm back in Poland again in June for a weekend again, and then back again for a week in October. So that'll be four times this year.
Wow. And do you keep a running total of how many times you've been in Poland?
Yeah, no? I do. I can't remember the number offhand, but it's mounting up a fair few.
It's going to be rival. Well, is it rivaling Uganda at this point?
It's probably getting very close to Uganda. Uganda's 20 times. Poland must be getting towards 20, if not exceeding. I thought you were going to ask, was I catching, you know, the number of times Brian Hayes went to Poland, but that would be an impossible task because he was there over 40 years, sometimes 10 times a year. So I don't know that I'll be catching him up. But one of the things that was lovely, actually, Barry, over this weekend was, you know, obviously there's still a lot of people who have really fond memories of Brian. Our dear brother Brian Hayes, who's with the Lord now, enjoying his inheritance as a son in full. But he was really the guy who introduced me to Poland. 2015, I think, was the first trip. But just, you know, meeting people who still got fond memories of him and him praying for them, you know, years ago, and just, you know, the encounter with the Father's love that they had through Brian. It's just precious to be part of that. And also this time, a lady came up to me at the end of one of the ministry times and said, you know, she said, I kind of thought I knew there was it. I thought I knew everything there was to know about the Father. She said, you know, years ago, she said, this guy, Jack Winter, came to Poland, and Jack Frost came and they prayed for me. And I had a real encounter with the Father's love. And it was like life changing. And you could see it obviously had been life changing. And it's like, then she says, and, you know, today I've just received some more, you know, and I think, isn't that wonderful? You know, what the Father does in people's lives. And I just said to her, look, you know, you're so privileged to have had Jack Winter come, Jack Frost come. And of course, exceedingly privileged to have Mark Jide come. But I said, no, you know, you're so privileged to have been prayed for by those guys. But, you know, just remember, whatever your experience has been in the past, there's always more. And she said, yeah, that's what I want to take away. There's always more. And, you know, so it's that sort of thing, Barry. It's just an absolute joy to be, you know, involved with.
So, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about tonight?
Well, just in a couple of weeks, we need to headline what you're doing in 2 weeks' time, because that's kind of something we need to be thinking about, praying about for you, matey. Yeah. 2 weeks' time. Yeah. I'll be doing the webcast on my own because my dear friend Barry is somewhere else.
Yeah. I'll be in Seoul, Korea, South Korea. And I'm leaving on June the 3rd. And so it's going to be a whirlwind 8-day trip, two and a half days, I think, of travel. And then, 5 days there with our friends. And I haven't been there for 6 years. Again, in the kind of the spirit of Jack Winter, Jack had a real heart for South Korea. He had gone there like close to 40 times. And this is going to be my fourth time. So I'm not in the same category as Jack, but I just have dear friends there, love them to bits. And they're just so open. And again, I was supposed to go during COVID, you know, when COVID broke out, I was going to go in that May and I had to cancel that trip. So this is kind of a make good of that. And so, yeah, appreciate your prayers. It's going to be a whirlwind. A little bit of the adjustment with the time zone and kind of getting right in it as soon as I land. So it's or the next day anyway. So. Yeah. So we'll, but it's going to be great. We're looking forward to it. And again, when I've been there before, it just feels like just our extended family, just all and all these Korean little kids. They're the cutest little kids, and they just come running up to you and give me big hugs and everything else. So it's great. Now all those Korean little kids are probably now in probably teenagers. So, but yeah, so that's happening in 2 weeks.
Brilliant, excellent, good. So this evening we're going to talk about the sons and daughters of the kingdom. So I'm just going to kick off with just a few thoughts, and then we'll see where it goes, eh? So do you want to? I'd really appreciate you praying for me, Barry.
Yes, I will, my brother. So Father, we thank you that we are truly your sons and daughters in the kingdom of the Son of your love. And I just pray, Father, that I just pray a blessing on Mark as he, whatever you have put on his heart to share, that it would just come out freely and easily and clearly, and just that he will be amazed what he says by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that's leading him. And I pray, Father, for every heart, whether it's live or afterwards, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, you will make things real to us in a way, in a dimension, in a depth that we've never experienced before, knowing that we are truly sons and daughters of the kingdom. This is just not a catchphrase. This is the reality, and that this is more real than the world in which we live in. And we just pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would awaken in each and every one of us the truth of the kingdom of our God and our Father, and that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, he is the King of the kingdom, and we are is joint heirs in that amazing kingdom. So we just open our hearts up to whatever you want to say. And thank you, Father, that you know us, you love us, you speak each and every one of our languages, and you do it in a way that makes things so simple and so attainable and so identifiable. So we just pray a blessing on this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, bro. I'll see you in a few minutes.
All righty. See ya.
So, I just want to share a little bit about being sons and daughters of the kingdom. It's something I've been thinking about over the last few weeks, last few months, trying to sort of bring together, really. I mean, Jesus talks a lot about sonship, of course, in his ministry. And he talks about a lot about the kingdom of heaven. And, I've just been thinking about these two things and wanting to bring them together, because obviously they must be connected if Jesus talks so much about both of them. He wouldn't talk about things that were disjointed in that way. So just got a few thoughts, really. I kind of shared them in Poland over the weekend, and want to kind of run through some of them again this evening, because it's like, one of the things when we read Jesus' teachings on the kingdom, he doesn't actually give us a definition of the kingdom of heaven is. You know, very often he says the kingdom of heaven is like, and he gives us the picture and illustration that expresses the heart of the kingdom. But he doesn't actually say the kingdom of heaven is A, B and C. So I've kind of been looking at some of these things and looking at the whole topic of sonship. And just want to just bring that to us today, because I feel it's not only who we are, but it's about what we're about as sons and daughters. But I really want to start with a verse in John chapter 1, verse 18, which is, well-known verse. And John's writing says, "No one's ever seen God, but the one and only true Son, who is himself God, and is in the closest relationship with the Father. He's made him known." And that little phrase, Jesus being in the closest relationship with the Father, I want to pick up on a little bit, because it's so important for us, I believe. See, other translations say at the side of the Father, or in the bosom of the Father. But whichever way you look at it, whichever translation you read, however it's expressed, it's talking about an incredibly intimate relationship. And Jesus is in that closest relationship with the Father. They're so close, they're one. That's that intimacy of oneness. And, you know, I really believe that the relationship Jesus has with the Father is actually the same relationship that we can have. Now, you know, of course, we're not Jesus. We've got our issues and our problems and living in a fallen world. But, you know, I believe that that's what this revelation of the love of the Father is drawing us into. It's drawing us into the closest relationship with the Father. Now, you know, because of the reality of the fallen, broken world we live in, we are being drawn into it. And it's a journey for us. Of course, Jesus lived in that closest relationship with the Father all his life, you know, and in eternity before he came to the earth and so on. But for us, this is kind of like, this is where we're going. You know, we are being drawn into this beautiful, close, intimate relationship with the Father. And that's why I could encourage this lady in Poland and say, yeah, so privileged to have been prayed for by Jack Winter and Jack Frost. But, you know, just always remember there's always more. And that's what I feel, you know, for all of us. There's always more for us to pursue and to become closer and closer with the Father in our relationship with him. See, as we walk as Jesus walked, we will inevitably be drawn into an ever closer relationship with the Father. And one of the things Jesus says in John chapter 8, you know, he was so incredibly secure in his sonship. You know, we know from the accounts in the Gospels of the time when Jesus was baptized and he went into the wilderness, he was tempted by Satan. You know, Satan's challenge was, if you're the Son of God, prove it. And Jesus was so secure in his sonship, he didn't have to prove it. You know, he just said, you know, get lost, Satan. You know, I know who I am. And in John chapter 8, he says that. John chapter 8 is an incredible chapter. To me, it's kind of like Jesus's manifesto on sonship. You know, because he's having this conversation with the Pharisees. And he's basically contrasting his way of life with their way of life, his relationship with the Father with their relationship. And it's a very, very clear declaration of how Jesus sees our new relationship with the Father as sons and daughters. But, you know, Jesus is so secure in this relationship. And in John chapter 8, verse 14, he says to the Pharisees, look, hey guys, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. You see, it's like you can't throw anything at me because I know. And I really believe that powerful statement is something that can be etched on our hearts as well. That we can come to that place and say, I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. I know who my Father is. See, I believe that statement, that you know, that lifestyle is the fruit of us walking as Jesus walked, that we will become secure in our relationship with the Father and we'll be safe. When we're secure, we'll be safe and we can say, I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. I just want to look very briefly at a few things Jesus said in John chapter 8 about sonship, because it really kind of clarifies a few things for us. And as I say, it's such a rich chapter. I would encourage you, you know, to read John chapter 8 slowly, read it slowly and take in all the things Jesus says about sonship, because it's an incredibly powerful declaration of our new relationship with the Father. So I just want to pull three or four things out of this chapter for us today that Jesus says about sonship, because this lays the foundation for when we come on to talk about the kingdom of heaven in a few minutes. So the first thing I just want to pull out that Jesus says about sonship is in verse 19 of John chapter 8. You know, the Pharisees asked him, where is your Father? And Jesus's reply is, you do not know me or my Father. And then he says this, he says, if you knew me, you would know my Father as well. Now that's a very, very powerful statement. If you know, Jesus says, if you know me, you would know my Father. Now, the strong implication of that statement is that for us, knowing Jesus must lead to us knowing the Father. Because Jesus says, if you know me, you'd know my Father. It's kind of like, it's like what Philip saw in John chapter 14. You know, Jesus explains to Thomas, you know, I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Philip gets his revelation, says, oh, it's all about the Father. Show us the Father. And that will be enough. And Jesus says, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, they are so united and inseparable that Jesus is saying, you know, if you don't know the Father, well, how well do you know me? That's really what he's saying in this statement. And he reiterates it a little bit later on. And it's such a powerful statement. And I really believe it's the same for us. You know, how we claim we have a good relationship with Jesus. And maybe we do, but how strong a relationship is it if it doesn't take us to the Father? Because Jesus says, knowing me must lead to knowing the Father as well. And it's just like they are so inseparable. Now Jesus turns it round in verse 42 of John chapter 8. It says the same thing but the other way. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I've come from God. I've not come on my own. God sent me. Again, it's that very clear declaration that if you know one, you must know the other, because they are so intimately connected that we can't know Jesus without knowing the Father. We can't know the Father without knowing the Son. And we'll bring in the Holy Spirit in a few minutes. Don't worry. He features big time. And it's like Jesus is saying, you know, look at the oneness, look at the unity, look at my relationship with my Father, because that's the same relationship that I want you to have. And I, you know, Jesus said that to the Pharisees, but I believe he says it to us too. You know, he's saying, you know, you can have that closest relationship with the Father that I have. That's what he's saying. Then he says something, the third thing Jesus says, and I'm really being quite brief and just going over these quite quickly this evening, but the third thing Jesus says is quite shocking, and it's in verse 54. Jesus says, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, who you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Now, what Jesus is saying there is he's talking about God, but he calls him Father because that's who he is. The Pharisees can't call him Father because they don't know him as Father. So we've got the same person, but we've got two different relationships. Jesus comes and says, he's my Father. And the Pharisees say, he's our God. And it's a little bit like the royal family in our country here. You know, I remember the Olympics 2012, when the Queen apparently parachuted out of a helicopter with James Bond into the Olympic Stadium. Well, of course, it wasn't the Queen who parachuted. It was a stunt person. You know, he saw the parachute come down, and then the Queen walks into the stadium. And the whole country was shocked, you know, that the Queen would do such an amazing thing. And I remember the next day, Prince William and Prince Harry were being interviewed by the BBC. And they said, you know, they said, we're not surprised. And Prince William said, he said, the thing is, we know her as Grandma. You know her as the Queen. And as our grandma, we know her sense of humour. We know what she would do. We know how she's good for a laugh. You don't see that because you just see the Queen. And that's what Jesus is saying here to the Pharisees. He says, I know him as Father, but you only know him as God. And, you know, obviously what Jesus is saying is, I want you to know him as Father too. Jeremiah 3:19, I thought you would call me Father and not turn from following me. Why does Jeremiah prophesy that? Because that's who God is. He's a Father, and he longs that we would come to him. So this statement Jesus makes in John 8:54, it's talking about the same person, but it's talking about two different relationships. And what Jesus is saying is, you know, hey guys, if you could see it, you too could call God Father, because that's who he is. And the fourth thing I just want to say from this chapter is verses 35 and 36. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. If the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You know, a slave has no permanent place, but a son belongs. And when I study this chapter, and I realize I'm moving very quickly through it, but when I study this chapter and see everything that Jesus says about sonship, I begin to see that the gospel is much, much more than salvation. Of course, salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, is absolutely vital. It's the entrance point, you know, for us receiving that wonderful gift of eternal life and being put right with God. You know, forgiveness of sins, amazing gift, beautiful gift. Never want to devalue it, but I believe there is so much more for us. You know, that this forgiveness of sins that we receive freely when we come to Jesus, when we acknowledge our sin and we ask him to forgive us, he does that. He wipes the slate clean, but actually it opens the door for us to live a totally transformed life. We get a renewed heart and a new spirit. And Ezekiel prophesies the coming of the Holy Spirit in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, 27. You know, Ezekiel sees there will be a day when God will put his spirit in us, his very spirit, the Holy Spirit will come in us. And it will be his spirit in us which will cause us or motivate us to walk in his ways. So for me, as I look at all of this, the gospel is so much more than salvation. It's the entry point to us beginning to walk as Jesus walked. And when we look at the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, we very often limit ourselves to talk about the gifts or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But actually, when we kind of look at the person of the Holy Spirit, what Jesus says, what Paul says, what we see is a person who comes to live in us. And Jesus says in John 14, verse 16, that the Holy Spirit reminds us of everything that Jesus has taught. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4 that the Spirit of the Son, the Holy Spirit, tells us that we're no longer slaves, but we're sons of God and can cry Abba, that we can receive the full rights of sonship. And Romans 8 says we're made alive in Christ. Christ is in us. We live the life of the Godhead. The life of the Godhead is in us and shining out of us. So we have this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that lives, who lives in us, and who is the driving force to motivate or cause us to walk in the Father's ways. So that's, for me, is the fulfillment of what, you know, what the gospel is. You know, yes, our sins are forgiven, but there's a life for us to live as we walk as Jesus walked. And when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we begin to make decisions in a similar way to the way the Father makes decisions. You know, it's not independence, but it's being led by the Spirit. Because the Spirit knows what the Father wants, and the Spirit comes in us and motivates us on that pathway. You know, very often I talk to people and I say, well, you know, they say, I don't know what to do for God. And I say, well, what would you like to do? And they say, oh, I can't do what I would like to do. You know, that would be wrong. And I kind of say, well, why not? If you've got God in you, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you know, he will be motivating you to walk in the Father's way. And he will be giving you those desires. So why not follow them? Because they've probably come from the Father in the first place. See, he empowers us by his Holy Spirit. And that's how I begin to see that sonship is the foundation of the kingdom. Sonship is walking as Jesus walked in a way that brings the kingdom of heaven to earth. That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about, that heaven is coming to earth. And many of you will have heard me say this before, but it's like my prayer is, you know, Father, what little bit of heaven do you want me to bring to earth today? See, I think that's what the Lord's Prayer, what Jesus is praying, you know, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You see, and I just believe that that is walking as Jesus walked. When we say, Father, what bit of heaven am I going to do? Am I going to bring to earth today? Because that's all Jesus did. You know, Father, what would you like me to do today? What would you like me to say? He only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what he heard the Father saying. And for us, this journey is the same. Father, what do you want to do today? How can I help you today? What do you want me to say today? You know, that's kind of like the fullness, if you like, of the gospel. When the Holy Spirit comes in us and motivates us to walk in his ways. And as I've been looking at this, I see this really as the foundation for understanding the kingdom of heaven. See, John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you know, very truly I tell you, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You cannot see the kingdom, you can't perceive it unless you're born again. So being born again, becoming a Christian, is a prerequisite to even seeing the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 1 verse 12, John writes, to all who receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. See, when we're born again, when we become Christians, we see, we can begin to perceive a new way of living. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So when we're born again, we see this new way of living. And we're also offered a new relationship with the Father. We're given the right to become children of God. Now, sadly, although we've been given the right, many people don't take it up and they continue to live as servants and orphans, and they miss out on so much. And that's why I just loved this last weekend when I was spending time talking to people about the need to be loved and how love transforms us and brings us into this relationship where we know that God is being a father to us. And we know that we're his sons and daughters. So this is a gift that he gives us. And my encouragement to us all today is let's take it up. Let's take this gift up so that we not only see and perceive a new way of living, but we live in this new relationship. See, becoming a Christian is not just about salvation. And sadly, many people have left it that, or they leave it at that, and that kind of becomes good enough. Salvation is vital, it's important, it's necessary. We have to come to Jesus, we have to come through Jesus, we have to repent of our sins. You know, all of that, salvation is a wonderful gift, but there is also the fullness of sonship for us to walk in and live in as Jesus walked and lived. And sadly, the sad thing is many people settle for the first thing. You know, they'll take their salvation, they've got their ticket for heaven one day, but they don't enter the fullness of sonship. I know we talk about this a lot on the webcast, but this is my encouragement. Hey, look, there's a whole new life to live, a whole new way of living. There's a new relationship, the closest relationship with the Father. And that's what I want to encourage us. You know, let's pursue with all of our heart this closest relationship with the Father. But you see, as we've seen, the Holy Spirit comes in us to motivate us and cause us to walk in his ways. And when we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we are taken over by the Spirit of God and we will live differently. You know, we can't help it. The more we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, the more we will live differently. And we call this new way of life the kingdom of God. See, one of the things I know I've done it, and I know this will be kind of familiar to many people, but one of the things we often do when we talk about the kingdom is we say the kingdom of heaven and, you know, the kingdom of heaven and finances, the kingdom of heaven and family, the kingdom of heaven and our children, the kingdom of heaven and our marriages, the kingdom of heaven and our workplaces, the kingdom of heaven and our pets, you know, all these sorts of things, you know, the kingdom of heaven and how I drive my car. And actually what we do is we miss the point, because we end up trying to change the externals and we think, I will try and live differently. I will try and have a better marriage. I will try and be better with my kids. I will try and be better with my finances. I will try and drive my car at the speed limit. And we actually end up trying to find something that is about the external way that we live rather than our heart being changed. And we fall back into striving and we create a new law for ourselves and we call it the kingdom of heaven. But when we do the kingdom of heaven and all these other things, we miss the point that the kingdom is a relationship. It's this relationship of sonship that I've just briefly looked at, that we can't see it until we're born again. And when we're born again, you know, if we take up this gift of this right of living a sonship, you know, suddenly we see that this kingdom of heaven is about our heart being changed and we begin to live differently from the inside out. You see, Jesus, when he talks about the kingdom, he says the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like this, it's like that, it's like the other. We'll look at a couple in a minute. Paul gives us probably one of the clearest statements about the kingdom in Romans 14, verse 17. Paul says, the kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the first thing is the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of that is righteousness, which is us being made right with God and us walking rightly with him. It's not about the externals. It's about something that happens internally. It's about peace. You know, Jesus said, my peace I give you. And it's a peace that passes our limited understanding. You see, the peace, the kingdom is a kingdom of peace, but it's an internal peace that's a gift from heaven. And it's joy. It's not my joy, it's the joy of the Lord is my strength. So the kingdom are these three things, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit confirms to our spirit that we're no longer slaves, but we're sons. So these two things, sonship and the kingdom of heaven, are intrinsically bound up together. That when we have the Holy Spirit releasing that Father cry inside of us, in the core of our being, that we can express from the depths of our heart, Abba, we're beginning to step into this new kingdom where we live as sons and daughters, where we seek what the Father's will is, and we say, Father, like your son Jesus, I will only do what I see you doing. I will only say what I hear you saying. See, the kingdom of heaven is not functional, it's relational. And it's a kingdom of light. And what does light do? Light gets rid of darkness. it gets rid of the darkness, but it also reveals something, you know. And what Jesus says, when I'm the light of the world, is it's like we're turning on the light and we can now see something that we've never been able to see before. And that's this relationship with the Father. And of course, the kingdom is a kingdom of love, that we would love the Lord your God and your neighbor, you know, as ourself. But in order to love, we have to first be loved. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is within us. It's at hand. And he says that because the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit enables us to walk in this kingdom. The kingdom is the new way of life that is being offered to us. We have a new relationship with the Father, the closest relationship with the Father that Jesus enjoyed. And the door is opened up for us to walk a new way of life. And that's why Jesus says the kingdom is within. And I just want to briefly mention two things and then I'll get Barry back. Jesus mentions two little parables. He says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold everything and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything and bought it. Those are two little descriptions that Jesus gives, explaining what the kingdom's like. You know, it's valuable. This is like an impulsive decision. They find something and they're prepared to give everything to get it. They're prepared to sell everything. So when we look at these two little parables, we see that what is being offered, it's got a cost, it's got a sacrifice, but there's incredible joy. You know, when the man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy, he went and sold everything. And Barry and I often talk, you know, together, you know, it's like what we've found with the Father, what we've found in this whole revelation of love, what we found as we've discovered that God is being a father to us, that we are being loved like Jesus is loved, that we can live as sons and daughters in the kingdom, that we enter the kingdom. Colossians 1:13 says we enter the kingdom of his Son. You know, it's walking as Jesus walked. You know, this is the pearl of great price. And certainly for Barry and I, you know, this is the pearl of great price. And one of the things I said over the weekend, and then Barry, you know, I'll bring you back in, is the kingdom of heaven is free, but it will cost everything. You know, it's like, because it's so worth having. And so Barry, just bring you back and, you know, feel free. I realize I've taken a bit more time than I wanted to, but whatever you want to add, my friend, go ahead.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, I'm going to have to listen to this again. It is, I mean, like you said, you covered so much ground, Mark. I don't even know where to begin, to be honest. I think it's, you know, what you had said, that the kingdom is so much more than just a get out of jail free card, so to speak. You know, as far as people think, it's somehow just kind of to just barely make it, you know, and it's sonship. It's actually living in this place of, and of course the spirit of the Son is not a masculine term, but yeah, I just say, wow, there is so much there to unpack, my brother. And, you know, I think I'm going to have to, you know, take some notes again and going through it, because I mean, the implications are so
huge,
far reaching. And we've talked about that over the years. Like, it's not, you know, even the, you know, just the paradigm of church life versus kingdom being, you know, the church is in the kingdom, but the church is not just as far as the walls of the church. We are the body of Christ, but it's way beyond a Sunday morning service. Absolutely. It is life. Yeah. It's when we're watching our kids play soccer or football, as you'd call it. And so, yeah, I think, I just think, you know, and I know my heart, you know, when I was hearing you say that and say, oh, Father, I just want to just become more aware of that expansive kingdom that is now.
Yeah.
It's now, it's here. The kingdom's at hand, Jesus said, right? The kingdom is within you. And, you know, how many times do even well-meaning me, I'll say me, kind of chase it to the conference or, and all, you know, conferences are good and all that, but it's like chasing it somewhere else other than just like saying, Father, would you just bring a revelation of the kingdom that indwells me?
Yeah.
You know, so I think, wow.
Yeah. One of the things that really struck me was, you know, if we often talk about the kingdom of God being the reign of God, the rule of God, which of course it is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that statement. But the thing is, if we limit the kingdom of God purely to his reign without the relationship, we're going to end back in slavery.
Yeah.
And we've been set free. You know, that's one of the verses I read, you know, if the sun sets you free, you are free. And, I think that's been the problem with a lot of teaching on the kingdom of heaven, is it's been looking at changing behavior, changing the externals, and not actually saying that the change flows out of the relationship. And we wonder why are people's lives not being changed despite all the talk. And it's just like we have to start off with sonship is the foundation for the kingdom. You can't live in the kingdom of heaven unless you understand that you're a son or a daughter.
Right. Well, and again, it's, you know, and oftentimes where I think religion kind of gets in the way is it when it's contractual or mechanical.
Yeah.
That we, and we miss the relational aspect.
Yeah. Which is the most important thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, John 17:3, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. And knowing, as that Hebrew knowing, that intimacy, not knowing about God, but it's actually opening our hearts up to be know God and to be known by him. And and so for me, if we're looking at this thing from a kind of a theological, impersonal, well, you know, we're trying to observe this kingdom from a distance, you know, and what is this thing, and trying to define it in those terms. I mean, when we understand that, of course, as you know, and you know, I've said it to ad nauseum, I know, but that Jesus said, except you receive the kingdom like a little child, you won't enter into it. So then I think that gives the simple blueprint and how we are to receive the kingdom. It's just like a toddler would. And so how does a toddler, they don't have the intellectual capacity to grasp things. It's all by their heart.
That's right. Yeah. We can't see the kingdom unless we're born again. When we become, when we're born again, we're given the right to become children, because becoming a child is the entry point to the kingdom. Right. So,
well, and
these things are not, you can't separate these things. They are so interwoven and so,
Well, and one of the things you said, and it may, you know, just, you know, if you want to unpack it some more, but, and it just kind of, you know, dawned on me, of course, you know, the John 1, you know, 12 and 13, it said, you know, to those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. And you know, how you said some people, we don't exercise those rights. We don't actually enter into sonship.
Yeah.
Right. And that's powerful.
It is. And I mean, the example I always use, Barry, is I haven't got it here, but it's like a credit card, piece of plastic. And it's a ticket that will get me into most airport lounges. Okay, so I go through security last week. I go through security, Heathrow Airport, Wednesday afternoon. It's busy. So I go through security and then I've got a choice. Like, I've got a choice. I've got the right to go in the lounge.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to go in the lounge. I could sit with the thousands of people in the general area. You know, that's, I've got that choice. I've got the right to go into the lounge, but I have to do something about it. I have to go up to the lounge and show them my ticket. And they say, oh, Mr. Jide, you're very welcome. Go ahead, you know, free internet, free food and drink, you know, make yourself at home. And then I can walk into that lounge, and, you know, and I can use all the facilities that are there. But yeah. I don't have to. You know, I could sit outside. I mean, it's a pretty dumb choice, right? When you, yeah. if you go through airports, you'll know what I mean. You know, if you've got a ticket to the lounge, you're going to go in the lounge. And I just think it's like this. You know, when we're born again, we're given the right. And for so many of us, and for so long, it's like we don't understand that actually, if we exercise that right, and as Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You know. Mm. And we suddenly discover that we're sons, that we've got a permanent place in the family, that we're not slaves. And we've got the spirit of sonship inside of us that tells us, you know, we're no longer slaves, but we're sons.
Yeah.
It's like we've been, the trouble is we've been sort of kept in this through many different reasons. You know, we've been kept in this sort of slavish, orphan-hearted way of living. And we call it Christianity because we kind of say, yeah, my sins are forgiven. I got my ticket to heaven. One day everything will be okay. Well, hang on. That's not what Jesus said.
Yeah.
And okay, yeah, we're still going to live in a fallen world, but let's live as sons and daughters in a fallen world, because as we live as sons and daughters in a fallen world, Romans chapter 8 says, creation is groaning with eager expectation, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And yeah. I have no idea what that looks like, but it's got to look better than what we've got at the moment.
Well, and of course, we're children of the light, right? And, and of course, Jesus said, you know, you don't put a bushel over a light. You let the light shine on the hill. And and I think that's to me, it's just part of that beautiful process that is open to each and every one of us, is to learn to live as children of the light. And again, it might be counterculture. You know, we're not of the world. Jesus is very clear about that. We, you know, 1 John says, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world, you know, and it's just, so we're living in this tension between, you know, heaven and earth, right? We're here now, but yet we're seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ even now. So we're living with this tension, but you know, just to be able to come to terms with the reality that this is real. Like I, you know, listening to our dear friend James Jordan, you know, when I heard him, and I heard him in Vancouver recently, you know, it was just like, you know, he's gone through quite a process, right? And he had shared how in some of the difficult times, even in the night, it's like, you know, he was having these conversations with God. It was just like so much. And so he's just talking about that, you know, that we are not of the world. And it's like, oh, you know, we can say, oh, it's like motherhood and apple pie. Of course, that's right. But he's saying, no, it's real. And I think that's what you're saying, right? It is like this kingdom.
Yeah.
Is real. It's substance. It's now that we can be partakers of.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. So good, matey.
Thank you, my friend. You know, the thing that my starting point for this was that verse in John chapter 1, verse 18. You know, no one has seen God but apart from the Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father. And other translations, like I said, at the side of the Father, in the bosom of the Father. But that's, you know, that's why, I ended up with maybe a little bit of a challenge, the sacrifice, the pearl of great price. But it's worth it. It's worth it to enter, to discover and to go deeper in this closest relationship with the Father. And I just, maybe Barry, we can just end by praying for all of us.
Yeah.
That we would go deeper in this closest relationship with the Father, because that's, you know, that's what he wants for us, is to know him as Jesus knew him. and to walk with him as Jesus walked with him. And so, Father, we just come to you once again. Holy Spirit, we come to you. And Holy Spirit, I just ask for an amazing outpouring into each and every heart, that you would baptize us afresh, that we would be immersed afresh in the Holy Spirit of sonship. Father, would you just let a new wave of your Holy Spirit come and wash over and soak through each one of us, that the eyes of our heart would see this beautiful, precious relationship with you that we want to pursue with all of our heart, that pursuing your love and pursuing your fathering really would become the pearl of great price, that we would pursue it with all of our heart. Father, thank you that it is possible for us to have that close relationship with you. And I just pray, Father, that one of the things that keeps us from that intimacy, one of the things that keeps us from that closeness, is fear. And I just pray, Father, for an outpouring of your love, that perfect love would drive out all fear. In Jesus' name.
Yes,
Lord. That right now, perfect love would drive out all fear. For each one of us, Father. That fear would go. Because fear has to do with punishment. Fear has to do with distance.
Yeah.
We want to draw close to you. We want to come close to you, Father. So, Father, just pour your Spirit into our heart, that Spirit of sonship. As Romans 5, verse 5 says, you pour your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we just receive that today, right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah. And Father, we just ask that you would just simply remind us that the pathway into the entrance of the kingdom is having a transformation of our heart where we become little children. In the immeasurable eternal kingdom that you so delight in us can only receive with the heart of a toddler. And that's such good news, Father. We don't have to be wise and learned and top of the food chain. We can just be little and helpless and weak, powerless. Because it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So, Father, would you just help us not to be afraid of that? Help us, anybody who is struggling, maybe being afraid of being disqualified or not measuring up. Father, would you just, as Mark said, would you just let love come? And that love would just drive out all fear of rejection or missing out. Because perfect love just drives out fear. So even now, Father, we just want to, even just by the simple act of breathing, in the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of God, we just breathe in your love. And trust that you are continuing to fill us with your love by your Holy Spirit.
Oh, I've lost Barry. There he is. you weren't there. Thank you all for joining us once again. Bless you. Have a good week.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bless you. Thanks.